Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled Peace on Earth. The scripture reading is Matthew 1, 18 to 21, which Ed will read during his welcome. Thank you to him, to Don, and to Earl for being involved in the video.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to our meeting today. So the church comes together today to worship and receive encouragement, and so that we can leave and be the church in our community. So welcome. Just a few things. We have a couple of birthdays this week to Amanda and to Diane and Debbie, and an anniversary. Jeff and Jan are having an anniversary this week. Another thing is that you normally, each year, we have a candlelight service, but this year we are not going to do that. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for this time that we can be together today. We're grateful for our health and strength that makes it possible for us to be here. We pray for those of our number that are struggling with their health, and we pray your blessing on them, and we pray as we have opportunity that we can take care and be a blessing to them in their health issues. We're thankful that Jesus came to this world, that he died, that he rose again, and that we can receive your blessing of salvation through him, through belief in him. We're grateful for the time that we can be together, and we pray your blessing on it in Jesus' name. Amen. The reading today, listen really carefully to it. It's really, completely gut-wrenching to put yourself in the place of Mary, to put yourself in the place of Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had the mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what she has conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She gave birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins."
Good morning, everyone. Grateful to have you with us today. I want to say on behalf of the congregation a big thank you to Jeff, who decorated our church building again this year, making it look so beautifully and festive at Christmas time. So thank you to Janet. This time of year, I think of people who are now in heaven, but were part of us for so many years. For many years at our candlelight Christmas Eve service, Tom Fleming led us in beautiful carols and hymns. That was one of his favorite times of year. And I guess that's what Christmas is about, being with the people that we now have and yet remembering people that were with us, with the hope and the memory and the assurance that we will see them again. And what a wonderful time that will be. Hear the word of the Lord, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn. Yes, Mary had other children as the years went on. to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I think it's really unique that the Christmas story is so calm and is so beautiful, and yet it really isn't. There is this word that we seldom use today, and it's the word glory. And I always thought of glory as something feels good, it's comfortable, it's wonderful, it's nice, it's warm. That really isn't what glory is all about. The glory of the Lord is this powerful light and sound. Let me give you an example. In the Old Testament, when Solomon was dedicating the temple to the Lord, this word glory was called the Shekinah glory light. I'll just read this to you. So think with me for a moment. You're back at the Christmas scene, and there's shepherds in the field, and then there's this glory shone around the shepherds. Here's what it looked like. This goes back to when Solomon was dedicating the temple. And here's the word glory. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord filling it. When all the Israelites saw fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground. And they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord. He is good. His love endures forever. Now let's go back and read the Christmas story. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And I get it now. I always wondered, they were terrified by the glory of the Lord, this nice, lovely light that comes along. No. It was just the glory, the magnificent, which was so powerful. They were terrified. And I suspect if we were there, we would be too. And the emphasis, I think, for the Christmas story, to the best of our ability, is to put ourselves in their shoes. An angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, which is really cool, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary pondered, Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. this glory of the Lord. Now, the other thing that's interesting to me in this story is that the shepherds are highlighted. Back in that day, shepherds lived with the sheep. I had kind of missed that. I always thought it was one of those things where, okay, I'm a shepherd. Well, I guess I'll get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and go and walk around with the sheep and see what's going on. Maybe I can help them a little bit. And then 4 o'clock, time to go home, and that'll be it. Not even close. The sheep depended on the shepherd. The shepherd depended on the sheep. I missed for years the story of us being sheep, God being the shepherd. The connection between the two. And that connection it's beyond time. It's beyond time. It's God being our loving shepherd and we being sheep to him always. This beautiful story of this Christ child coming into the world, this glory of the Lord, which wasn't really easy. It was powerful. But it's the story of this wonderful woman who's going to have this child and these shepherds that were out in the field. Let me just say, I missed it for years that the shepherd were living with the sheep in the fields. They weren't going home. They lived with the sheep. Good weather and bad weather, they lived with the sheep. That was their life. And it's unique, and I don't miss this at all, that God is the shepherd, loving shepherd to us as the sheep. And it's this wonderful story at Christmas time that, at least as far as I'm concerned, I missed it. I missed it for years and years and years. I don't know how many sermons I preached at Christmas time over my career, but I missed it. I missed it. I missed it. That the shepherd and the sheep are connected. And that the lower class of people in God's eyes are in first class. Shepherds were not really welcome in the town. But God comes along and he describes and shines his glory on people who weren't necessarily welcome in the town. God says, everyone is welcome. The Christmas story highlights the lowly. And an angel of the Lord speaks to them in a powerful, powerful way. So just a couple of thoughts. Jesus is for all of us, of course, each one of us. When the shepherds saw the baby, they were seeing much more than a baby. They didn't know it, but they were looking at the Son of God. And these are some of the words that describe Jesus. So, for example, if I were to ask you, just stop for a moment and think about different words that would describe Jesus. What would you say? Lord, God, Savior, and you might think of a few more. The Christmas story highlights these shepherds, reminding us that he is for each and every one of us. They didn't realize when they saw this baby who they were really seeing. Let me share with you what the scripture says. Jesus, yes. Savior, yes. King, yes. But here are the words describing him. Son of God, the light of the world, the great high priest, the great shepherd, the bread of life, the water of life, the door into life, the great I am, always in the present, the word of God, the Lamb of God, the King of Kings, the Savior of the world, the Lord of Lords, Messiah, Prince of Peace, the Way, the Truth, the Life. They were looking at a baby, but he was so much more than a baby. Years later, Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, sees Jesus, and he looks at Jesus. And he doesn't say what we would say, "Hi, Jesus." not what he says. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." How's that for Christmas? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Throughout the ages, the prophets talked about a Savior who would atone for our sins. All of that is in the Christmas story. They all knew about sacrifices, but this Savior will pay for our sins fully and completely. And even though this happened 2,000 years ago, it's just as amazing today because we're part of the story. That our sins are forgiven in this Christ, this child that came into the world, innocent and completely. We are saved because of him. We are part of it. And I suggest that when we read the story, we do something different. That we read it autobiographically. You put yourself in this story. You put yourself in being in the room when an angel speaks to Joseph, when an angel speaks to Mary. You put yourself there. You put yourself with the shepherds, out with the sheep at night. No matter how the weather was, you were there. You put yourself inside the manger scene, maybe at a distance, keeping at a distance, but watching what was happening. You're looking into not only the eyes of a baby, you're looking into the eyes of the Son of God who will atone us of our sins, forgive us of our sins, and ask us to do the same for others. To forgive, to love, to bring gifts to the world, to be with people who are not considered first class, to be with people who are loved but are never told that they're loved, to be with the lonely, to be with the hurting. All of this is part of the Christmas story. And the sacrifices over those years led all the way up to the sacrifice of sacrifices. His birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection, what leads to our birth, our life, our death, and our resurrection. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and nothing has changed. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he invites us to him fully and completely. There's just such joy to it. So many of us have read for years the wonderful story by Dickens, A Christmas Carol. And you know the story about this curmudgeon-y old miser, very, very wealthy man, Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge, who had difficulties in his own life, but he just kept everybody at a distance. He was mean. His poor assistant that worked with him, he was put down constantly. And you know the story all the time. And he then has a dream. And his dream is about what happened in the past and the present and the future. And it was the ghost telling him, looking back on his life and how he is now. And it wasn't a very nice person, but he changes. Throughout looking back on his life, he sees the mistakes he made. And he sees that he's just been selfish all the way through his life. And so he changes. And he has this reclamation. Past, present, and future. And he wakes up on a Christmas morning and he's so excited and so happy because his life is completely changed forever. He's not selfish anymore. He's so happy and he doesn't know really what to do. And so this lovely maid who brings him tea every morning brings tea into the room. And you probably remember the story. And he's so excited that it's Christmas Day, that he's happy. He's jumping all over the place. And she's never seen him anything like this. And he's so excited that he says, "I've just got to stand on my head. I've just got to stand on my head." And so he stands on his head, and this poor maid, she puts her apron over her head, screaming and yelling, and she runs down the staircase, and she's yelling and screaming, and he runs after her and pats her on the back and says, "Shh, it's all okay. And she says, don't be violent with me. And he goes, "I'm not going to be violent with you." She goes, I'll scream for the police. No. And he pulls out some money, he puts it in her hand. And she says to him, "Here, what's this for?" And he says, "I'll give you one guess." And she says, Not to call the police? Oh, no, she said, no. It's a Christmas present. And then it goes this way. Here's what she said. A Christmas present. For me? And he looks at her for the first time tenderly and compassionately. And he says, of course for you. And he kisses her on the head. And he says, now go off with you and enjoy yourself. This reclamation changed his life. And people that he kept at a distance, now he brings into his own. People were afraid of him until they saw how his life changed forever. What is there about your life that maybe needs to change, especially at Christmas time? What is there in each of our lives that can bring joy to other people at Christmas time? It may be just the best gift of all. One of my preaching heroes is Dale Pauls. A number of years ago, he wrote this little article that helped me understand Christmas even better. It's simply called Christ Born in Us. And he's not just talking about baptism, but I think it fits in very well with this Christmas season. May I read his words to you? There are many fine and wonderful reasons to celebrate the Christmas season, but the finest one I know is that these weeks offer us an opportunity to ponder Christ, listen now, being born in us. That surely is the message that matters most in this season, that Christ is not just born, but he's born inside of me, inside of you, inside of each one of us, if we really do believe. God offers to come to us as he came to the world at Bethlehem as an innocent baby. This is that glorious possibility. The gift offered to all everywhere, even at this moment. Christ, this Emmanuel, will be conceived in you, spiritually. He begins small and hidden in the depths of your being, growing, alive inside you. Sometimes you feel the kick, and you close your eyes to comprehend this great miracle. God inside me. Then the moment of the birth comes. Christ cannot stay hidden in you forever. He must be born into your open life. Normatively, this happens in Christian baptism. But many are baptized and Christ somehow stays hidden. Not surprisingly, the Apostle Paul talks of himself being in the pains of childhood until Christ is formed in the baptized people. Sooner or later, Christ must be born into you, into your open life. And it will happen with labor, pain. This is what it sounds like. He now lives visibly in your actions and through your words. People will look at you and see something new, something brand new, a new life. At first, this Christ in you will seem young and immature. You'll stumble and fall, but grow and grow as you will. You will mature until Christ is revealed as stronger than you and wiser than you. He will be revealed in and through your life as a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and of the peace there is no end within you. And finally, we will know the peace that allows us to withstand all life's pleasures, the driving temptations, the failures, and disappointments. Maybe the child is still waiting to be born inside of you. Give yourself the best Christmas present anyone could ever have. Let him in. Let him in. Don't shut him out. Maybe this season, the miracle of Christmas can be your miracle and can be a reality in your life. Maybe this Christmas, before you open the first Christmas gift, you remember Christmas gift of Christ himself. May this be the season when the great mystery of Christ in you is fully revealed and you find yourself finally strong enough to become, listen, a healing, redemptive presence in your world. Your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your friends. Every Christmas season gives us the opportunity to be born again, as Christ was born into the world and born in our life. The shepherds didn't realize who they were seeing. So let me repeat what they saw. Not just who they saw, but what did they see? They saw the Son of God, the light of the world, the great high priest, the great shepherd, the bread of life, the water of life, the door into life, the great I am, the Lamb of God, the Word of God, the King of kings, the Savior of the world, the Lord of lords, Messiah, Prince of peace, the way, the truth, the life, who lives in us. Unwrap the gift. Look at the gift. The present, God's peace and glory that he gives us every year. Christmas and you and me should be best friends. There's never been a moment when you've ever been alone. You may have felt that way, but he promises, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you. Peace. Let me conclude with these few scriptures. Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all on whom his favor rests. Oh, if the world had peace. Luke 19. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Oh, to have the peace of Jesus, and he promised us we can. John 16, I have told you all these things so that in me you may have peace. I told you the Christmas story, and you're part of it, so that you can have peace. One day, in the new heaven and new earth, maybe we'll meet one of those shepherds. Chat about it. What was it like? Can you just tell me what it was like? Jesus said, I've told you all these things so that you can have peace. Romans 1, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds at Christ Jesus. Like Scrooge, his life changed completely. Can you tell me why? I just had a visit. I had these dreams. I think he would say, God changed. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, because we were called to peace. Peace is a gift for Christmas. To share it, to receive it, to hold on to it for the rest of our lives. Amen.
Thank you, Adam, for sharing that song, Finding. He looks for things and brings them to us in terms of song and tying in with Don's lesson as well. Peace. In the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." But later, he said to his disciples, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Seems contradictory. So, Don didn't read the last part, although he has referred to it in lessons in the last couple of weeks. John 16:33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace in this world. But in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." So, peace, this time of year, a peace that comes in to our hearts in the knowledge and understanding that Jesus entered this world and he showed us a better way of living, and he went to the cross for us. But in this world, there's trouble. Have you felt a sense of peace during the last 20 months of this pandemic? I have found peace during the pandemic, but it's tempered with some worry and anxiety and safety issues for my family. And so we have this time in history which has been less than peaceful in many ways for many people. And yet we're called upon to find peace. And Jesus calls us to be peacemakers. Well, the world was full of trouble when Jesus entered it. And to say that he experienced trouble would be an understatement, wouldn't it? 2,000 plus years later, and the world's still filled with trouble. We can't escape it. But like Christ, and as his followers, we are to be lovers of peace and striving to achieve an inner peace which is independent of all the external chaos in our world. We're to be lovers of peace and peacemakers. I was looking for a passage that perhaps would summarize many of these thoughts and found it in Colossians 1, verse 15. And this is the history of the world and the history of Jesus from the beginning of time to his death in one paragraph. Pretty impressive. "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and making peace through his shed blood on the cross. So, peace. See, Jesus, he was there in creation. He's in control of all things. He holds everything together. He's the head of the church. And by his death, we're reconciled to God. How? By making peace through his blood shed on the cross. See, this is where we find our peace in a world of chaos. As we meet around the table and we think about his love for mankind and what he did, the price he paid, so that we might not only find peace, but have peace in the knowledge that this world is not all there is. And that beyond this world, we have assurance of living with him eternally because of the price that was paid on Calvary. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we meet around the table this morning, let's think of that peace that came into the world, but also that transcends all understanding and lives within us. And in him, we find peace. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the love of Jesus, for his willingness to come into the world. We thank you for your love for mankind and sending him to pay that terrible price on the cross for us. We pray, Father, that you will help us as we partake of these emblems to remember the sacrifice, to remember the price that was paid for our salvation. And we pray you will help us as we partake of these emblems to reflect on these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
When I think of my childhood, I think of a few things that happened there that around this time of the year. Remember a lot of visits with cousins and grandparents. I was fortunate to have both sets of grandparents living in Toronto when I was growing up, and both sets grandparents attended the same church that I attended. So that was a really positive thing. I do remember one year that we couldn't have a Christmas tree because my dad said that we couldn't afford one. And I asked my grade five teacher, where we had a Christmas tree in the classroom, if I could have the tree at the end of, you know, when Christmas break started. She said, sure, and I dragged it home half a mile over sidewalks and snow. And when I got there at home, it was so dry there was hardly any needles on one side of the tree. And setting it up, I don't remember those kinds of things with any other Christmas other than that one. But I do remember that at church that we would sing carols in the evening sometimes, some years, but it was never really preached about. I am really, really grateful that for many, many years that we have paused at Christmas time and that we tell the story. And thank Don for his powerful lesson today and for Earl's thoughts around the table. For surely the birth of Jesus, the coming of God to flesh to this planet, is the most amazing miracle that could ever we could ever imagine or think about, and that he died for us, lived, told us, interacted with people, taught us about what's important, taught us that it's important to move from selfishness to humility and in that transition be his people. So this week, as we enter into another week, may we be stirred by these thoughts today, that we might be God's ambassadors, that we might be people of peace, people of encouragement, people of love, people of giving. For these things are we learn from our Savior's birth and for our God's infinite gift of Jesus to this world. And you know, right now I could barely contain myself by singing some of Handel's Messiah, but I won't. But I feel like it. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give glory and honor to you, our God and merciful Father, that you would see us in this state, on this planet, in this life, needing a Savior, and that you would make a plan that he come, that he be born to this world, and that he might be amongst us, and that we can read about him, and that we can feel the Spirit within us. Please, please, Father, help us to believe. Help us to want to be like Jesus. Help us to have peace and love and encouragement and giving as part of our lives, because surely we have learned that from you in this powerful gift of giving your Son. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.